بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 13th session, first session after the break for Ramadan. And as we mentioned in the last session, before Ramadan, we didn't have enough time to complete the commentaries of Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani. Rather than rush through them, we said that, inshallah, when we come back after Ramadan, we're going to go back and look at those commentaries, which is, in a sense, going back to the last topic that we ended with before Ramadan, that is the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the last 3 points are 4 points related to the prophethood. Sheikh make some comments, 4 comments on those matters, and we're going to look at those tonight, inshallah. And even though the time is very, very short, we're going to take just a couple of minutes to help us to remember what we covered previously, and more specifically for those who may be joining us for the first time, to have some idea, any very, very brief idea of what we covered up until now. So tonight we're going to be reading, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, as I mentioned, from the brief commentaries of Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, related to Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah by Al-Imam Abu Ja'far Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Salama At-Tahawi, rahimahullah. In tonight's session, we're going to look at the last 3 points related to prophethood, and then we also have just a couple of other matters that we might look at just briefly before we go on to the next topic, which is the Qur'an. The Qur'an being the speech of Allah. So, as far as what preceded in the months that, since we began this topic, what we mentioned in the beginning, from the beginning of this book, that this, what follows, is a mention of clarification of the Aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah based upon the madhab of the Fuqaha al-Millah, that is Abu Hanifa and Nu'man ibn Thabit al-Kufi and Abi Yusuf Ya'qub ibn Ibrahim al-Ansari and Abi Abdullah Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, which begins with وَمَا يَعْتَقِدُونَ مِنْ أُصُولُ الدِّينِ وَيَدِينُونَ بِهِ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Yani that which they held as the aqidah from the matters of the fundamentals of the deen. The foundations of the deen is the aqidah. And that which they, worship Allah with, the Lord of all the worlds. Al-Imam al-Tahawi began by saying, نَقُولُ فِي تَوْهِيدِ اللَّهِ مُعَتَقِدِينَ بِتَوْفِيقِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاحِدٌ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. That we say, our saying concerning the Tawheed of Allah, believing what we believe by the Tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say that indeed Allah is one. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاحِدٌ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. This is what we began with. And then Al-Imam Al-Tahawi rahimahullah went on to say there's nothing like him, and there's nothing that renders him incapable, that he can't do, and there's nothing worthy of worship except him. And he is Qadim bila ibtida, the eternal one without any beginning, and Da'im bila intiha, the enduring one without any end. And he will never perish nor come to an end. Nothing happens except what he wills. And no imagination can fully conceive him, no understanding can fully comprehend him, and he does not resemble any created being. He is living and he never dies, always sustaining, qayyum, and never sleeping. He creates without a need to create, and he provides for his creation without any effort, without any difficulty. He causes death with no fear of consequences, and he resurrects without any difficulty. And Imam Tahawi goes on to say concerning the sifat of Allah. He existed with his timeless attributes, his sifat, before his creation. Before he created anything, he already had these qualities or characteristics. And his bringing into being the creation added nothing to his essence that was not already among his sifat. As his sifats were before creation, so they will continue forever. The sifat that he had before he brought about the creation, they always were and they always will be. It is not because he created the creation that he earned the name Al-Khaliq, creator, nor by his making, yani the creation, bringing it into existence, did he earn the name, the maker, yani al-bari. And he has the quality of lordship without requiring anything to lord over. Yani he had the quality or the character, the sifa of rububiyyah, even before there was anything in the creation to be the rub over. And the quality of being the creator before or without requiring anything to create. Meaning that his sifat were with him before he created anything, brought anything to existence. He already had these sifat, these qualities and characteristics, and always will have them. He said, وَلَهُ مَعْنَى الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ. And he has the quality or the characteristic of lordship without requiring anything to lord over, and the quality of al-Khaliq, being the creator without requiring anything to create. And just as he resurrects the dead after they first had life, he deserved this name before he brought them to life. Likewise, he deserved the name the creator before he produced them. He says he created the creation with his knowledge. And he created the creation with his knowledge. Meaning, having full knowledge of what he was creating and all that they would do in this world. And then he said, I'm sorry, I skipped one point. He said, this is because, yani all of those things that preceded, he said, this is because he has power over all things, and all things are in need of him. And every matter is easy for him. And he has no need of anything. For there is nothing like unto him. The ayah from the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And he is the hearing and the seeing. Then he says he created the creation with knowledge, meaning knowledge, having full knowledge of what he was creating, what they would do. And he decreed destinies for them, and he determined the creatures, and their destinies, their qadr, the measure and scope of all matters of their existence. And he fixed for them their ajal, yani the extent of their existence or lifespan. Nothing was hidden from him. Even before he created them, he knew what they were going to do, their actions and their deeds before he created them. And nonetheless, he commanded them with ta'atihi, yani to be obedient to him. And he forbade them from ma'asiyatihi, from being disobedient to him. And everything happens in accordance with his taqdeer, his pre-measurement or decree, and his mashiyah will. And everything is in accordance with his taqdeer and his mashiyah. And his mashiyah is executed, yani what he wills will be accomplished, will be achieved. The creatures have no will except what he wills for them. Hence, whatever he wills for them shall be. And this is what will happen, what will occur, and whatever he does not will can never happen or occur. Then he says that Al-Imam al-Tahawi says, he, that is Allah, guides whomever he wills and protects them from misguidance and sin. And he protects them, meaning he protects them from going astray and from committing sins. And he keeps them safe from harm in this world and the next. All of this is from his fadl, his favor, his bounty. And he leads astray whomever he wills. He withholds his aid and assistance and puts to test whomever he wills. And all of this is from his adl, his justice. All of them, that is the creatures, are subject to his mashiyah, his will. Whatever happens, being due to either his fadl, yani his favor, his bounty, his kindness, or his adl, his justice. He, Allah, is muta'al, highly exalted and free from having any al-dhadad, opponents, or al-andad, equals. And Allah doesn't have anyone who can oppose him, and he doesn't have anyone, and there's no one that is equal to him. Nothing can repel his qadha, his decree, nor undo or reverse his hukm, his ruling or judgment, nor can anyone overpower his command, his amr. We believe in all of this, the above, and we know with certainty that everything which happens is from Allah, that is from his divine decree. So this is what we covered, yani in the first two sections of this book, the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the divine decree, the Qadr and Qadha. And finally, the last section that we covered before the break for Ramadan is what we're going to return to the end of it now. And that is the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Al-Imam al-Tahawi says, we also believe and are certain that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his chosen servant, Abduhu al-Mustafa, and his selected prophet, Nabiyuhu al-Mujtaba, and his messenger with whom he is well pleased, Rasuluhu al-Murtada. And we also believe that he is the seal of the prophets, Khatam al-Anbiya, and the leader of the people of Taqwa, Imam al-Atqiya, and the master of the messengers, Sayyid al-Mursaleen, and the beloved of the Lord of the worlds, Habib, Rabbil Alameen. and every claim to prophethood and nubuwa after him is ghayyun, deviation and misguidance, and hawa, following desires and evil inclinations, and he is the one missioned, al-mab'uth, to all the jinn as well as the whole of mankind with the truth and the right guidance as well as the light and illumination. So this is the last points that we covered in the final session before the break for Ramadan, and the explanation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And tonight, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, we're going to go back to look at some of those points related to the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the commentary, any 4 points from Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani. And for those who may be joining us for the first time, I just want to mention just quickly that primarily most of the commentary, brief commentary, is from Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And then there are some brief commentaries here and there, mostly from Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, and some comments also from Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz, rahimahumullah. So most of the commentary that we're going to be seeing in the weeks that come are from Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafidhahullah, and then there will be periodically, as we're going to see tonight, some commentaries from the other imams. Before we start with the commentaries of Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, rahimahullah, we want to look at the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 12, and in the final session that we held related to the last three of the 4 points related to the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one other point that I want to mention, for those who might not remember or coming for the first time, any of the original Arabic commentaries have a numbering of the statements of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, and Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan has a separate numbering, because some of the points, he has broken them down into 2 or 3 points in his explanation, so the numbering is different. So normally I'm going to mention the first number is the number from the original Arabic commentaries, and then the second number that we mention is the number from the commentary of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. So from question and study guide number 12, the first question. Can somebody turn this light on? Just press the one that's round. Just press it in. Oh, and it's on already. Okay. So the first question mentioned the 30th statement of the author Al-Imam al-Tahawi concerning Allah's Messenger. The 30th statement. Sheikh Salih Fawzan commentary is statement number 42. What is the 30th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi? Naam, Zakaria. So these are 4 characteristics. After the previous point, the 29th point of Al-Imam al-Tahawi mentioning that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Allah's chosen servant and his selected prophet and his the messenger that he is pleased with. After that, Al-Imam al-Tahawi mentions 4 qualities or characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is Khatim al-Anbiya, the seal of the prophets, wa Imam al-Atqiya, the leader of the people of piety, and the Sayyid al-Mursaleen, the master of the messengers, and Habib al-Rabbil Alameen, the beloved of the Lord of all the worlds. So this is the 30th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, 4 qualities or characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and 2 of these qualities Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani comments on 2 of these qualities, the final 2. Sayyid al-Mursaleen wa Habib Rabbil Alameen. He has some commentary on those 2 points. Question number 2. How has Sheikh Salih Fawzan explained the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam description as Khatim al-Anbiya? How has he explained? What is the meaning of Khatim al-Anbiya? Tayyib, fadda, Zakaria. Khatim al-Anbiya means that no prophet is coming after him. No prophet is coming after him. The meaning of khatam here is what? That which seals something so that nothing can be taken from it or added to it. It's sealed, it's complete, it's finished. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah has made him the seal of the messengers, meaning there's no message, no prophet or messenger being sent after him. Question number three. Memorize the ayah from the Quran, 33rd surah, 40th ayah, in which the Prophet ﷺ is mentioned with the above description. The ayah from the Quran in which the Prophet is mentioned with the above description. Nope. Somebody else. You can look in your book. Tayyib Zakaria. Now, anybody know the meaning of this ayah? What is the meaning of the ayah, at least? What is the meaning of the ayah? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the father of any of your men. Yani he's not yani the father of any of your men. Naam. Walakin Rasulullah. But he is the Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah, wa Khatim al-Nabiyyin, and the seal of the Prophets. And in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions him as the seal of the Prophets. Question number four. Mention a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes himself just as Allah described him in the above ayah. The hadith the Shaykh mentioned concerning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describing himself with this description. Even part of the hadith, any the relevant part. The relevant part. Anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Ana, I am the Khatim al-Anbiya. Anybody remember the hadith? Talib. Naam. This is very, very important, yani, because it's crystal clear. The Prophet ﷺ is warning us, advising the people that great liars are going to come. And every one of them is going to claim that he is a prophet. And then he states categorically, I am the seal of the prophets. And if you don't understand what that means, لا نبي بعدي. How can somebody explain what does it mean of لا نبي? What does this mean? And what is the significance of this statement? Now, Talib. لا نافل الجنس. There's absolutely no prophet coming after me. There's no way for any discussion here. لا نبي. And this is لا نافل الجنس means that there's absolutely, whatever we're talking about, prophets here, there's absolutely no way that there will be any prophet after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Question number five. Give an example of someone who claimed nubuwa in recent times and mentioned the Islamic ruling concerning this claim. Any in brief? Naam, Abdul Wali. Qadiani. Yani?
He claimed to be a prophet, his followers are Qadiani.
Okay, he claimed to be a prophet, yani Mirza Ghulam Ahmed Al Qadiani. He claimed to be a prophet, and the ruling concerning this claim of prophethood by him and anyone else, Ahmed?
Their beliefs in denying the truth of Allah and His Messenger. Because they think that he kicked the prophet after the prophet.
Yani they are denying what Allah said. Yani they are rejecting what Allah said, that there's no prophet after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they're rejecting what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and therefore, yani the ruling concerning the person who makes this claim or the people who believe in it is kufr, mukhrij min al-millah. Yani this is a person who is a kafir outside of Islam, not kufr duna kufr. No, this is kufr, it takes a person out of Islam. They are not a Muslim. And this is by agreement of the Muslims. Yani there's no one, Sheikh Salih al-Zan said, there's no one amongst the Muslims who differ concerning, yani this ruling concerning these people as being kafir. Kufar. Tayyib, question number six. How has Sheikh Salih al-Zan, hafidhullah, explained what is intended by the description of the Prophet as Imam al-Atqiyah? Yani the Imam of the people of Taqwa. How does he explain this now? Okay, he said he's the Imam of the Muslims, and he mentioned the ayat as well that yani, you have in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the excellent example for whoever has hope in the last day. He also gave a more specific definition of Imam al-Atqiya. Naam, I don't know who's that back there. Oh, naam, fadl. This the only model, al-Qudwa al-Wahid. Al-Qudwa al-Wahid, the only one that can be taken as a model or an example for the people of Taqwa. Question number seven. How has Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhu Allah explained what is intended by the description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Sayyid al-Mursaleen. Sayyid al-Mursaleen. What does this mean? Mursaleen are the messengers. What does Sayyid al-Mursaleen mean? Ahmed.
The Prophet is the chief of all the sons of Adam.
Okay, that's a statement from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's the chief, the leader of the sons of Adam. What is the meaning of those? Sayyid al-Mursaleen means what here? What does it mean? Naam, Adam. The Imam, yani, or the Muqaddam. Yani, Muqaddam means the one who's out in the front. Or the Imam, the leader, who is the head of the messengers. Yani, all of them behind him. All of them behind him. Al-Muqaddam means the one who is out front. Or Al-Imam. He said, هو المقدم والإمام. فهو أفضل الرسل. إمامهم ومقدمهم. What description is more befitting to describe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with than Habibu Rabbil Alameen? And why? What description is more befitting to describe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with than Habibu Rabbil Alameen? Naam.
Khalil, because hub has levels.
Khalil, naam. Okay, and why? Because
hub has levels, and the highest level of hub is Khalil.
Because hub has levels. There are darajat. And the highest level, a'la daraja, is al-qulla, yani being the khalil. So this is a distinction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the believers in general who are beloved by Allah. But this is the highest level of that love, yani to be the khalil of Allah. Naam.
And only Ibrahim and Muhammad had a...
And only two people in humanity have been given this type of description, that is the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Question number 9. Mention the 31st or 43rd statement of the author Al-Imam At-Tahawi concerning anyone's claim of Nubuwa. What did Al-Imam At-Tahawi saying? Anyone's claim of Nubuwa. Naam, Ali.
He said that every claim to prophecy is false and based on
whims. Naam, every claim to prophethood. Anyone who claims prophethood after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this is yani ghayy. Yani it's misguidance, astray. And it is hawa. It's just a person following their desires or their evil inclinations. Final question. Mention the 32nd or 44th statement of the author, Imam At-Tahawi, concerning the universality of the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. Fadl. He was sent to all of the jinn and all of mankind with the truth,
light, with the truth, guidance,
light and illumination. Okay, just one person sitting here tonight. What did Imam At-Tahawi say in Arabic? This final statement. Naam.
Fadl.
طيب. Anybody memorize that? We gotta memorize. We have to memorize. طيب, لابس. خلاص. This is what we covered in the final session. And tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, we want to pick up on these final 3 points. Yani, there are 4 points concerning the prophethood of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the final 3 points is what we're going to look at just briefly. So, tonight, we really actually prayed a little bit late tonight. And aslan, yani, we only had a little bit of time before we prayed late. So, and we may take a few minutes and between the adhan and the iqama, inshallah, bi-idhni Allahi ta'ala. So, the points of prophethood, and I'm reading from page 37 from the Arabic yani commentaries on Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah. On page 37, we're actually going to read from point number 30. I'm just going to mention point number 29 because it's the beginning of the statements of Al-Imam At-Tahawi concerning prophethood. Where he says, وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ الْمُصْطَفَى وَنَبِيهُ الْمُجْتَبَى وَرَسُولُهُ الْمُرْتَضَى. Yani, and we also believe, just like we believe that إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاحِدٌ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. This is the continuation of that statement. We believe that Allah is one and there is no partner with Him. So likewise, وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا. We also believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's chosen abd, worshipper, and His selected nabi, prophet, and His, yani, Rasul, that he is pleased with, Murtada. Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, I think I read it in the last session, what he said about this. I think I read it. In case I didn't quickly, I'll just mention it, but I think I did read it. He says concerning this point that know that every messenger is a prophet. And it is not so that every prophet is a messenger. Did I read that last time? Good. Every messenger is a prophet, and not every prophet is a messenger. Is that clear what that means? And every messenger is also a prophet, but not every prophet reached the level of being a messenger. So the messenger is a higher level. He said that the scholars have mentioned the difference between a messenger and a prophet, and you can see in the tafsir of Al-Alusi, yani some of the comments and others of what the scholars said about the difference. There are many opinions concerning this. He said perhaps what is nearest to being correct is that a Rasul is one who has been sent, who has been missioned with a new Sharia. And a prophet is one who has been missioned to affirm and to comply with the Sharia of the prophet who came before him. And I'll leave it with that. I mean, that's a summary of what we mentioned in the last session concerning the statement of Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, rahimahullah. As far as the 30th statement, which is the second statement related to prophethood of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, وَأَنَّهُ خَاتِمَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَإِمَامَ الْأَتْقِيَاءِ وَسَيِّدَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَحَبِيبَ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Yani, Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, has two points that he comments on concerning these four descriptions. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the seal of the prophets. He's the imam of the people of taqwa. He is the master of the messengers. And he is the beloved of the Rabb al-Alameen. The Shaykh, rahimahullah, he says, هَذِهِ الْعَقِيدَ ثَبَتَتْ فِي أَحَدِيثْ كَثِيرَ مُصْطَفِيدَ. هَذِهِ الْعَقِيدَ. He's referring to, as we'll see in the later of his comments, he's referring to the aqidah, the belief that the Prophet Muhammad is Sayyid al-Mursaleen. He's referring to this particular statement. This aqidah is something that's confirmed in many, many narrations from the Prophet ﷺ. تَلَقَّتْهَا الْأُمَّ بِالْقَبُولِ. And the Ummah of Islam have accepted this reality, this belief, that he is the master of the messengers. And he, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, is the leader of all the prophets and messengers. And then he says that the Shari, yani, in the explanation of At-Tahawiyyah, he said he has mentioned, yani, narrations concerning this in detail. You can go back and look at it. He said, Fahiyya, yani, based on the many narrations proving this point, Fahiyya tufidu al-ilm wal-yaqeen. Yani, the fact that so many narrations, authentic narrations came stating this truth, then believing in it is something that is knowledge, is real knowledge and certainty. Tufid al-ilm wal-yaqeen. فَهُوَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ سَيِّدُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ يَقِينًا. He is definitely, certainly, undoubtedly the master, the leader of the messengers. Then, this is the Shaykh's commentary that, yani, we want to take a look at just quickly, and we're not going to be able to take a lot of time for it. وَمِنَ الْمُؤَسِفْ أَنْ أَقُولَ إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْعَقِيدَةِ لَا يُؤْمِنْ بِهَا أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَشْتَرِطُونَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ الَّذِي يَجِبُ الْإِيمَانِ بِهِ أَنْ يَكُونَ مُتَوَاتِرًا. And he said, unfortunately, I am sorry to say that this aqidah, believing that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is the Sayyid al-Mursaleen, there are people who don't believe it. Because they have made as a condition in reference to a hadith that we have to, that we are obligated to have iman in what it came with, and either hadith that we are obligated to believe in what it came with, they made a condition that it has to be mutawatira. Yani, that hadith has to be mutawatir. If it's not mutawatir, it's not obligatory for us to believe in it. And this is a topic that's a technical topic that, you know, it goes back to mustalah hadith, and this is not the time for that. But in any case, in summary, yani, the mutawatir, the hadith are divided in, if you look at the turuq, yani, the asanid, the isnads, chains of narration of hadith, they divide into two types of hadith. There's mutawatir and there's ahad. Okay? So what is mutawatir and what is ahad? They're saying it's a condition, it has to be mutawatir. The ahad is not acceptable. Yani, the narration, the chains that came with three or more narrators, but it didn't reach mutawatir, that's from ahad. If it came with two people, yani, at least two people in every level of the chain, then that is also ahad, that's not mutawatir. If it came with one, obviously, then it's not. It's mashhur, aziz, and gharib. All of those come under ahad. Now, what is mutawatir that they're making as a condition? It has to have so many narrators in every level of the chain of narration that it would be impossible for all of those people to come together and agree to conspire upon a lie. Therefore, if a hadith is mutawatir, because in every level of the chain, there are a large number of people. And the number that it has to be, scholars differ about. But a large number of people, such that it would be impossible, yani, under normal circumstances, for all those people to come together and make up a lie. So therefore, the mutawatir hadith, we are obligated to believe in it. This is their, yani, this is their condition. It has to be mutawatir, otherwise, any hadith is not mutawatir, we don't have to believe in what it came with. And there are lots of hadith. Most of the hadith are not mutawatir. That are mashhur, or aziz, or gharib. That are reported in Bukhari and Muslim, muttafaqun alayh. And they're saying, it's not mutawatir, we don't have to believe in that. So he said, unfortunately, I'm sorry to say, there are many people who have made such a condition, and there are others who made as a condition for what we have to believe in aqeedah, it has to be in the Qur'an. Forget about hadith, it has to be in the Qur'an, otherwise we don't have to believe it. So these are two groups of people the Shaykh is saying, unfortunately, there are people, and he mentions Shaykh Shaltut, who was the, yani Mahmoud Shaltut, he was the Shaykh of Azhar for a period of time, from 1958 to 1963, he held this belief. That the hadith, our aqeedah has to be based on the Qur'an. Shaykh says, unfortunately, there are people who, have this belief. And therefore they, by their condition that they have made, then they don't require that you have to believe that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Sayyid al-Mursaleen. He said, I have refuted these people, all of them. The first group and the second group. The people who said the hadith has to be mutawatir, and other people said it has to be in the Qur'an. He said, I have refuted them min ishreen wajhan, from 20 different angles. From 20 different angles. Yani 20 points I made disproving them. The first of them is that this belief that a hadith has to be mutawatir in order for us to be required to believe in what it came with, forget about it's muttafaqun alayh. Forget about it's Bukhari or Muslim, whatever, doesn't matter, it's sahih. He said, this is bid'ah. It's an innovation. And nobody had it before. They made it up when they made it up. He said, the second refutation against them is that yani the Prophet, or not in this order, I'm just kind of recall a few points that he made. He said, the Prophet sent individuals to lands to convey Islam, which include what we believe in. And the people were required to believe it from one person. Another proof against them is that the Sahaba, radiallahu anjma'in, they never questioned any companion who came to the others and said, the Prophet ﷺ said this. They didn't say, where's the rest of the people to make it mutawatir? So this is contrary to the practice of Sahaba. Another point against them is their claim that the people of Usul, the people who studied Usul of Fiqh, from their principles is that they all agreed that hadith has to be mutawatir in order to be required to believe in what it came with. He said, this is also false. Because the people before they made it up, the people of Usul, there was no such agreement. Nobody held that you had to have this. And then he mentioned, he mentioned 20 points. And we don't have the time. Otherwise, I wrote some notes here to mention those 20 points, but we just don't have time. But whoever wants to go back, just send me a note, inshallah, I'll send you. Because actually the Shaykh wrote this in a book, and the book is available. He said, so I mentioned 20 different angles to refute them in my essay, Wujub al-Akhth بحديث الآحد في العقيدة ورد على الشبه المخالفين. The obligation of taking, accepting and acting upon the hadith, that's hadith ahad, it's not mutawatir, in aqidah. The obligation of accepting it. And the refutation of the doubts of the people who oppose this. He said, I mentioned in the end of it 20 examples of aqidah that's confirmed in authentic hadith that these people are required to reject. And they are not allowed to accept based on their conditions. And this, that the Prophet ﷺ is the Sayyid of Muslimin, is just one of those 20. And it says here 20, but actually in the book there are 30 examples that the Shaykh mentions, and from amongst them, any points of aqidah that all Muslims believe that are not didn't come from mutawatir hadith. The prophethood of Adam alayhi salam is not mentioned in the mutawatir hadith. The excellence and the superiority of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not mentioned in mutawatir hadith. The scales that these will be weighed on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, the punishment in the grave, and so many matters, he mentions 30 of them, that all Muslims believe, and no regular Muslim would want to doubt or reject any of those beliefs, because well known, And they are confirmed in authentic hadith, but not mutawatir. Tayyib. So that is the summary of what the Shaykh said. There, he said, go back and look at this book. It's a book that he wrote 50 years ago. And it's available. And it's available online, inshallah. The second point is Habib Rabbil Alameen. Okay, I'm going to read two commentaries, one brief commentary from Sheikh Abdullah bin Humaid, rahimahullah, and then the commentary of Sheikh, just because he mentioned the point here that Sheikh Al-Albani doesn't mention. That's really important. He said, now Sheikh Abdullah bin Hamid, rahimahullah, says, if the author had said Khalil Rabbil Alameen instead of Habib Rabbil Alameen, if he said Khalil of the Rabbil Alameen, then this is what was really required. Because this has been confirmed in the textual, in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Shaykh al-Albani mentions it in his commentary. It has been confirmed in an authentic hadith. And also, another reason why he should have said Khalil Rabbil Alameen instead of Habib is لأن الخلة أخص من المحبة. That الخلة, being the Khalil, is more exclusive than محبة, which is general to all the believers. It's more exclusive. أخص كما هي أعلى درجة المحبة, just as it is the highest level of mahabbah. And finally he says, لِأَلَّا يَتَوَحَّمْ أَنَّ الْخُلَّ لِإِبْرَهِيمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ وَالْمَحَبَّ لِمُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَمَا قَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ وَهَذَا قَوْلْ بَاطِلْ. And he said also, it was more proper that he should have said Khalil رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ, so that nobody would imagine, yani would wrongly believe, that this station of khulla, being the khalil of Allah, is exclusive to Ibrahim. And mahabba is for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that nobody would imagine that. That khulla is exclusively for Ibrahim alayhi salam, and mahabba is for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As some people have said, and this is, he said, qawlun batil. This is a false statement. This is a false statement. And it's based upon a hadith that's weak. Tayyib. After this, Shaykh al-Albani, his commentary on this statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being described as yani Habib Rabbil Alameen, he said rather he is Khalil Rabbil Alameen. For indeed al-khulla, yani being the Khalil, is a'la martaba min al-mahabba wa akmal, yani it's a higher level and it's a more complete and perfect level. And yani Shaykh Abdullah bin Humaid said that it is akhassu, and here Shaykh al-Albani said it's a'la and akmal, so it's more exclusive, it's a higher level, and it's more complete and perfect. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ is deserving of being described with. And this is because the Prophet ﷺ himself said in a hadith reported by Imam Muslim, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اتَّخَذِنِي خَلِيلًا كَمَا اتَّخَذَ إِبْرَهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. And indeed, Allah has taken me, chosen me as a khalil, just as He has chosen Ibrahim as a khalil. So he's entitled to this description rather than being described with the general description of Habib, which is the description of all of the people of Iman. And also because it has not been confirmed in an authentic hadith that he is Habibullah. And the hadith narrating this description of the Prophet ﷺ is a weak hadith. So pay attention to this. The third point is from the statement of Imam At-Tahawi, the 31st statement, or 43 in Sheikh Fawzan's commentary, 31st statement. وكل دعوة دعوة النبوة بعده فغي وهوى. And every claim of prophethood after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is deviation, yani misguidance, is astray, and it is hawa, yani just following one's desires or evil inclinations. Sheikh al-Albani says concerning this, yani claiming prophethood, Allahu Akbar. Okay, we're going to do the best that we can. The Shaykh, he says, rahimahullah, وَقَدْ أَخْبَرَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ أُمَّتَهُ نُصْحًا لَهُمْ وَتَحْذِيرًا في حديث كثيرة. أحاديث كثيرة. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has informed his ummah from the, يعني for the purpose of advising them and also for the purpose of warning them in many hadith. أَنَّهُ سَيَكُونُ بَعْدَهُ دجالون كثيرون, that they will come after him many great liars. And he said in some of those narrations, كلهم يزعموا أنه نبي وأنا خاتم النبيين لا نبي بعدي. This hadith is reported by Imam Muslim, where he said, there will come many great liars after me. Every one of them will claim that he is a prophet, and I am the seal of the prophets. And in case there's any misunderstanding of what the seal of the prophets means, he said, لا نبي بعدي. There's no prophet after me. Reported by Imam Muslim and others. Shaykh al-Albani mentions it. The hadith is sahih, hadith number 1683. So here the Shaykh goes into some detail concerning one of the people who claimed prophethood. Because of the time, I'm going to try to go through it as quickly as possible. From amongst those Dajjaleen, yani those great liars, is Mirza Ghulam Ahmed Al-Qadiani, the one who claimed prophethood. Before I go on with Shaykh Al-Albani's statement, there's a footnote and it says he is the leader of this Al-Ta'ifa Al-Qadiyaniya Al-Kafira. And he is the leader of this disbelieving yani group called the Qadianis. And he died as a punishment from Allah in the bathroom. And it was mentioned in the newspapers of India at the time when he died, the Ghulam Ahmed Al-Mutanabbi, the one who claimed falsely prophethood, Al-Qadiani. When he was tried, yani tested with cholera, yani, which is a bacterial infection, impurities, najasa, yani كانت النجاسة تخرج من فمه قبل الموت ومات وكان جالسا في بيت الخلاء لقضاء الحاجة. Yani impurities was coming out of his mouth and coming from his backside on the toilet. He died in that condition as a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh says, this man Mirza Ghulam Ahmed Al-Qadiani, who claimed the prophethood, and he had many followers spread throughout India, Germany, England, and America, and they have had masjids by means of which they mislead the people. And there were some individuals from amongst them in Syria, but Allah removed them completely. And they have many yani points of aqidah other than this aqidah that prophethood remained after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have many other yani beliefs. And their leader in this belief of the remaining of prophethood after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Sufi Ibn Arabi. Not Ibn al-Arabi al-Maliki, Ibn Arabi. He said, they have a book that they wrote where they collected his sayings that support this their aqidah that has been mentioned here, that there's prophethood after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the mashayikh of Sufiya yani were unable to refute them, even though they believed them to be disbelievers. They were unable to refute them because the sayings that they were using to support themselves were the sayings of Ibn Arabi, who is the leader of the Sufiya. He said, there's no room here to mention much of their beliefs, but there's no doubt that they are from those who the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam intended in the authentic hadith when he said, يَكُونُوا فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ دجالون كذابون يأتونكم من الأحاديث بما لم تسمعوا أنتم وآباؤكم فإياكم وإياهم لا يضلونكم ولا يفتنونكم. He said, yani they will come in the end of time. Great liars. Great liars. They will come to you with hadith that you never heard, not you or your fathers. So beware of them so that they will not lead you astray and cause you to fall into fitna. This hadith is mentioned by the author, Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, in his book, Mushkil Al-Athar, and it's also mentioned by Al-Imam Muslim in his introduction, Muqaddimah to his Sahih. And then the Shaykh mentions, and I'll just go quickly through it, he said, also from the most clearest of the signs of these people is that when they begin to give a talk, the first thing they begin with is establishing the death of Isa a.s. Yani, trying to prove that Isa a.s. died. So if they are able to do so, and according to their claim, to prove that he died, then they go to the next level, and that is the mention of hadith, which mentions the descent of Isa alayhi salam in the end of time. And they give their appearance that they believe in it, and then suddenly they begin to reinterpret those hadith, since they already supposedly proved that Isa died, so they reinterpret those hadith to mean that what is intended by the descent of Isa is someone that will be like him, and that's Ghulam Ahmed Al-Qadiani. He said they also have many other things that they have given false interpretations to, a whole lot of them, which make us to say with yani certainty that they are بِأَنَّهُمْ طَائِفَةً مِنَ الْبَاطِنِيَّةِ الْمُلْحِدَةِ, that they are definitely one of the groups of the Batiniyah, and the people who claim that there is secret meanings to the Quran and to the yani text of the Sharia, that they're the only ones who understand. He called them yani. He said that they are definitely from the Batiniyah al-Mulhida, yani the disbelievers, yani people who don't really have, they don't follow any religion. He said there will be a brief indication to some of their beliefs which are astray soon, inshallah, and that is in the last point of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, point number 32, statement number 32, or in Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan's book 44, where he says, وَهُوَ الْمَبَعُوثُ, yani that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been sent or missioned إِلَىٰ عَامَةِ الْجِنِ, to all of the jinn, وَكَافَةِ الْوَرَىٰ, and to the whole of humanity, بِالْحَقِّ وَالْهُدَىٰ, with the truth and right guidance, وَبِالنُّورِ وَالضِّيَىٰ, and with light and illumination. This is the final statement of prophethood, and from the statements of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, Sheikh says in his commentary, and we'll close with this, he said, وَمِنْ ضَلَالَاتِ الْقَادِيَانِيَةِ إنكارهم للجن كخلق غير الإنس ويتأولون كل الآيات والأحاديث المصرحة بوجودهم, meaning وجود الجن, ومبايناتهم للإنس, and their يعني distinction from the human beings يعني in terms of their creation بما يعود إلى أنهم الإنس أنفسهم أو طائفة منهم حتى إبليس نفسه يقول إنه إنسي شريرا. The Sheikh says from the misguidance, from the matters of misguidance of the Qadiani, is the rejection of the jinn being a creation other than the human beings. And the rejection of the idea that jinn is a different creation than human beings. And they have given some false interpretation to every ayah and every hadith, which is crystal clear in establishing the presence of jinn and that they are a different creation from the human beings. And in terms of the way that they are created. And human beings created from the, from what? Turab. And the jinn is created from? From fire, smokeless fire. So every ayat that came in the Quran and every hadith that's crystal clear in establishing the existence and the presence of jinn and that they are different, completely different in their creation than human beings, they have given an interpretation that goes back to their claim that the jinn are just human beings. Or, yani, a tribe or a group from amongst the human beings. To the extent that they say Iblis himself is just an evil human being. فَمَا أَضَلَّهُمْ. So what could be more astray than these people? This is the end of what the Shaykh said, and this is what we're going to stop with for today. I know that the time for the adhan is now, so we're going to respect that. Even though we did the time for the time between the adhan and the comment was extended yesterday for the purpose of us having a few more minutes for the class. Because of the shortness of the time between the adhan, between Maghrib and Isha. So I just want to quickly read some of the matters that the Shaykh mentions at the end of his book. From those things that are established. From the things that are established in hadith that are not mutawatir. So from amongst the things that I mentioned from my memory, yani, and from the things that I didn't remember, he said the prophethood of Adam alayhi salam, the superiority of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam over all other prophets and messengers, the shafa'a al-uzma, yani the great yani intercession on the day of gathering, and as well the shafa'a for the people of who committed the major sins, ahlul kaba'ir, from the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These are all things that are established in authentic hadith, but they are not mutawatir. The miracles of the Prophet ﷺ, other than the Qur'an, none of them are established by mutawatir hadith. Which means that according to their belief, we don't believe in any of that. We're not required to believe in it. Also, from amongst those things, being certain that the 10 people who are promised paradise, al-ashar al-mubashirin of al-jannah, that they are actually from the Ahlul Jannah. This is not confirmed in a hadith mutawatir. Believing in the questioning of Munkar and Nakir in the grave is not in hadith mutawatir. Believing in the punishment of the grave, believing in the tightening of the grave, believing in the two parts of the scales, the mizan, on Yawm Qiyamah, believing in the sirat, that the people will cross over into the paradise or fall into the hellfire, believing in the hawd of the Prophet, the pond that the believers would drink from, that whoever drinks from it would never be thirsty again. Believing that 70,000 of the people of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would enter the paradise بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ without accounting. None of this is established in mutawatir hadith. Believing in the pen, yani the pen that wrote everything that would happen, yani for the Lawh al-Mahfuz. Believing that the Ahlul Kabair, the people of major sins, will not remain in the hellfire eternally. They will not remain in the hellfire eternally. This is not established in mutawatir hadith. Believing that the souls of the martyrs will be in green, in the bellies of green birds, is not established in mutawatir hadith. Believing that the angels will convey the salams of the people of this ummah to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not established in mutawatir hadith. Believing in the signs of the hour, like the coming of the Mahdi and the descent of Isa alayhi salam and the coming forth of Dajjal and the beast that would come from the earth, none of this is confirmed in mutawatir hadith and so on. Yani the Shaykh mentions 30 matters. These are just a few more that didn't come to my mind in the beginning, which shows us the importance of having correct aqidah and correct manhaj. That all of those things, they are saying you are not required to believe in none of those things that we just mentioned and many, many more. The Shaykh says there's lots of more things that are confirmed in the aqidah of Islam by authentic hadith, but are not mutawatir. And they're saying that it's not required to believe in any of those things if they didn't come in hadith that's mutawatir. We're going to stop with this. And if anybody has any questions or any comments, inshallah, after the salat, inshallah, we'll stay for a few minutes. And we'll also have some light refreshments for those who are able to say. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka. Wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grants success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, in accordance with the authentic sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that Allah recognize, record and reward our good deeds, that He pardon, forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us al-thabat, any firmness upon as-sirat al-mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant a quick and speedy and complete recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and to shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, and to fill their graves with light, and to make them spacious, and to grant relief to the Muslims in Palestine, and in Sudan, and in Yemen, and in Syria, and Afghanistan, in Iraq, in China, in India, in Burma, and in every place in the earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant relief to the Muslims, men, women, and children who are being persecuted and murdered and slaughtered unjustly. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, He is al-musta'an, the one that we seek help from. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.